So yeah, I take one too.
Go for it.
No. You can wait.
Why should join him?
Yeah. I'll hold his, he'll hold mine.
All right, welcome to TYG Podcast, episode 42. I'm your host for this evening. My name is Jay. With me is Lorenzo.
What's going on?
Mark.
Sup?
And G.
At least you got the name right this time.
Yeah. I'm good like that. Anyways, we have a bunch of things to talk about today. We are going to be talking about comic books, the iPhone 5, Iron Kingdoms, EB Games' hiring practices, and a little bit about Final Fantasy VIII. But first, we're going to get into the speed round news. Now, G, do you have the timer ready?
Yes, sir.
I am not good with timers, but you're fantastic at them.
Not really, actually.
No, you're good.
Yeah, sure.
We're all good. The first thing we're going to talk about is Nintendo. They've announced the... Yeah, man.
Can I just leave?
You look so disappointed. All right, Nintendo, last week, just after our podcast, they announced the release date and pricing for the Wii U. Now, essentially, the Wii U is coming out November 18th in North America, and it's going to be for $299 for the basic model and $349 for the deluxe set. And apparently it's got 50 titles set for the launch window of the system. Now,
go, name all 50 in 2 minutes.
I can't name all 50. I'm not going to name all 50.
I can probably get most of them by guessing.
I want you to guess a couple of them. Go for it.
There's probably a Mario game.
Yep.
There's probably a Zelda game.
No.
Oh.
No, I think that was it for Zelda.
Maybe a Metroid game.
For a while.
Maybe rehashes of several other dozen Nintendo IPs that have been beaten to death.
Actually, from what I can tell, the only real Nintendo IPs on this launch are going to be Super Mario Bros. U. There's going to be Nintendo Land, which is technically just a mini game collection. And I think Pikmin, which is good to see because Pikmin hasn't been around for a while now. But I don't know. Any of you guys going to get this? I know I'm going to get it because I'm stupid, but whatever.
No, none of us are going to get it because you're the sucker who has to buy it for the site.
Yeah. Actually, I know exactly why I'm going to get it. I actually have justification now. But
Zombie U?
Yeah, it has a U.
It has to beat us 2 minutes.
No, Zombie U?
Yeah. Actually, Zombie U does look pretty interesting, but that's not the reason I'm going to get it. What I'm going to get is one of the things they announced, but we're going to talk about that later because it involves another story we have. But yeah, I don't know. The pricing seems a bit high to me, if you ask me, though.
What's
it's
the
basically,
price?
For the basic model, which is an 8-gig console with just a bunch of small accessories and the gamepad, it's $299. But if you want to pay $50 more, you get the deluxe set, which comes with, you know, like a charging case, a bunch of, for the controller obviously, and Nintendo Land and 32 gigs of storage. So
what's that one at?
$349.99.
Yeah, unless Nintendo's gonna pay me the original cost of the Wii, I'm not buying shit from them.
Fair enough. To be fair, you could have gotten the original cost of the Wii, and more so if you bought it originally and then just turned it around right away, because that thing was selling like hotcakes originally.
Yeah, but, you know, when it was turning around and selling like hotcakes, I was like, oh, maybe they'll make, you know, release a game in the next 4 years that might not be terrible. And then they didn't. So. Until they're willing to give me back my original investment on the Wii, I'm not buying another Nintendo product for as long as I live. I don't give a fuck if they get, like, if I get cancer and they have the cure for cancer. Oof. I'd die first.
That seems a bit much. No. I would probably go for the cure for cancer. I'm just saying.
That's approaching my level of rage versus Bethesda. Basically.
Oh, we'll talk about them later.
Oh, Bethesda. But yeah, I don't know. You guys got anything more to say about Nintendo and the Wii U?
No, this was like...
Nope.
I got $120 and the system. No.
Nope.
Alright, I'm somewhat excited. I'm gonna get it, but yeah. Eh.
How are you excited for that?
I'll tell you why I'm excited for it. Because, okay, I can't even tell you because the next news story involves I'm excited.
Yeah, alright, got it. We're good. We don't have to talk about it. Jay's excited.
I'm excited. I'm excited for Nintendo.
Okay, there's nothing more disturbing in this world than an excited Jay.
Excite bike you.
Oh god, no.
Bike actually, you?
Excite bike you. That's possible, right? No, yeah. It's probably not possible. It's probably terrible, guys.
Okay.
Alright.
We didn't make the 3 minutes, so what's the next one?
Yeah, we're gonna go three minutes. It's supposed to be 2 minutes.
Oh, okay, whatever. There you go. We did make it. We went over by 3 seconds.
Oh, snap. Alright. The next news story involves why I'm actually excited for the Wii U. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Bayonetta 2 was announced for the Wii U as an exclusive. Now, the reason why this is a news story is that... And let me read out some of these tweets afterwards, but... Fans of Bayonetta had a fucking hissy fit over the fact that it's a Wii U exclusive, saying things like, "Nintendo fucking sucks, I better see an Xbox release in the future or I'll kill you." Bayonetta 2 only for the Wii U, fuck you, and fuck you Platinum Games. So, that's good sentence structure right there.
Fuck you and fuck you.
Yeah. Not buying games from you again, no respect for loyal gamers. Why did you make Bayonetta 2 on Wii U? I hate you.
Did he do it like I hate H-A-T and then a big U?
No, he said I hate
you. No, how are you people so stupid?
He wrote I hate you, but then he didn't put a period and he made an angry face. Let's see.
Not only does he lack anything resembling wit, he's also a screaming idiot.
Bayonetta 2 on a toddler's console, what a great decision. I'm sorry too, I am not getting a Wii U, a really sad day for Bayonetta fans. Will Bayonetta 2 ever appear on a real console, or is it a genuine exclusive? Basically, people were pissed that it's coming out on the Wii U as an exclusive. Now, what do you guys think about this? I know what I think about this.
We know what you think about this.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's creaming his jeans, we're aware.
I think that's actually, I don't really have a horse in this race, but I think that the fan screaming reaction is kind of hilarious. And pretty much to be expected.
Yeah, I think it's par for the course. Apparently there was one guy who said, I fucking love you to the guy, but whatever.
I don't know. It being an exclusive, kind of... These fans can yell and scream and cry bloody murder. But being a fan of the game, they almost... It kind of puts them between a rock and a hard place. They almost feel like they almost have to purchase the system.
Yeah.
In order to play the game now, right?
Basically, that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, it's the same deal with Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube until Capcom re-released it. And there's all kinds of... There's console exclusives all the time. There's nothing new.
Yeah, and Nintendo's going to be like, well...
Yeah.
Hand over the dough and you can play the game, right?
Yeah, basically. You got anything to say about this, Gene?
No
horse in this race?
I mean, honestly... Any franchise that does a Wii U exclusive just doesn't even exist to me.
Alright, fair enough.
Because... Cancer before buying another Nintendo product means that I'll never play that Bayonetta game ever.
All right, fair enough.
I never played the first one, so
I'm going to tell you guys right now why I think these people are basically being dumb. Because essentially, Nintendo was publishing Bayonetta 2. That means they pretty much put the money so that Bayonetta 2 could be made. So they're the reason why Bayonetta 2 is being made at all. They have no reason to make that on all systems then. I mean, this game literally wouldn't exist without Nintendo. So, like, I hate to tell you this, but the game wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Nintendo at this point, right? So, really, I can understand why, I have to buy a new console, whatever. Especially since we've had these consoles for a long-ass time now. And probably, what is it, almost going to be... It's actually going to be close to...
7 years.
7 years now, right? Normally, after, like, five or six, we get new
already,
ones.
Already, eh?
I'm about to buy 3 Xboxes in that time.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think they're just...
Willingly. Willingly, mind you.
Yeah, man. I can't even make another point. It's not even happening. But yeah, that was Bayonetta 2 stuff. Okay, we're going to move on to the next story. I don't know if you guys know this, but there is a Super Mario 3D Land ripoff on the iOS App Store. It is called 3D Cartoon Land Safari.
3D Cartoon Land Safari.
3D Cartoon Land Safari. Now, this game is on the iOS App Store right now, and it basically looks exactly like Super Mario 3D Land. The enemies are Koopa Troopas and Goombas. And...
Safari?
Yeah, man. Safari.
What, is he African?
No, he's not, actually.
The main character is African?
No, the main character also is exactly dressed like Mario. You know, red shirt, blue overalls, red hat. Except he's got a blonde mullet and a mustache. So...
So he's Fabio the plumber?
He's Fabio the plumber.
He's a biker.
But yeah, this game's on the Hulk. This game's on the iOS App Store for 99 cents. What do you guys think about this kind of shit? Like, it keeps appearing on iOS and Android, for that matter.
Well, it's kind of hilarious. It's in keeping with the theme. I mean, it's a retread of a retread of a retread of a retread of a retread anyway. So... What's the fucking difference?
I suppose you do
the
have
mustache,
a point there.
The golden mustache.
No, the mustache is still black. He's got a blonde.
Oh, so he dyes his hair. So the fucking
the carpet doesn't match the drapes. Yeah.
So he's like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh shit!
That guy's scary. Don't talk about that guy. He'll find us.
That guy's fucking scary, man. Have you guys seen that guy recently?
Yeah.
He's still fucking huge.
Fuck.
I mean that in the sense that the TV show is terrible, but like he's a big guy.
Well, but Hugh Jackman is dead.
Roids.
No,
definitely not, considering the quantity of roids that dude ingests.
Definitely not. Do you guys care about this? Like, do you care if this stuff stays on the iOS App Store?
Yeah, whatever.
Anyone who buys it, like, is a moron, first of all. Second of all, it's Nintendo. No, I don't care.
Yeah, but it's not a Nintendo game. It's like some guy who's just like, hey, I'm going to make Super Mario 3D Land, except now it's going to be a guy with a yellow bullet.
Can we take a vote to not have any more news stories about Nintendo this podcast?
No.
Look at he's looking at that long list of Nintendo news stories.
No, like, I just got to cut it all. Okay, cut. Oh, jeez. Guys, Nintendo's going to be big news. You got to talk about it eventually.
For Jade's like, okay, that's the end of the podcast. Yeah.
We got nothing else to talk about.
They're the only company releasing the system, right?
Yeah, but next year they're thinking that they're going to announce new systems.
Yeah.
So, and they probably will.
And I'll be broke.
I'm already broke. It doesn't matter. All right, we're just going to move on to the next story. This next story involves Microsoft and its renewal for a old trademark. Now, have you guys been... you ever played Killer Instinct in the past? It's a game made by Rare.
It's a fighting game, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Okay, just recently they renewed their trademark for Killer Instinct. Now, some people are suspecting that, like, they're doing this because they want to re-release the games on XBLA. I personally don't think this is the case. And I'm going to tell you guys why. When Nintendo purchased Rare back during the Xbox days, it seems to me that they kind of took Rare and then they squeezed them until there's nothing left but them making shitty casual games for the Kinect. Which is basically what Rare is doing. So I honestly don't see them making this. What do you guys think?
So they've basically followed the EA strategy.
Buy
companies that make good games and strangle them to death.
Yeah, basically. Though to be fair... I will give it one thing. Rare was already being strangled to death before they were bought by Microsoft because Microsoft was buying up most of their talent anyways.
You just said that Rare was bought by Nintendo.
He means Nintendo. He made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Nintendo originally owned majority stake in Rare. Then Microsoft bought it. But before Microsoft bought it, Rare was already going on what I would consider a downhill spiral because a lot of their talent was being purchased. Or not purchased. A lot of their talent was moving on to Microsoft Game Studios. And then when they got purchased by Rare, a lot of that talent started working together again, but then they just didn't seem to go anywhere. I mean, what was the last Rare game?
Banjo Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Yeah. Did you get that game for free like I did?
No.
Yeah. You paid for that?
Yeah.
Oh, you poor son of a bitch.
Yeah, I liked the first two games.
Yeah.
That game crushed my soul.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you start the game, like, hey, this game's going to be great. It's like, no, now build cars.
With a physics engine that was, like, written by a 3-year-old monkey that, like, just shit on a typewriter.
Yeah, basically.
It was terrible. You'd, like, bump into a fence in that game and your entire car would explode. Like, it was worse than getting hit with a blue shell in Mario Kart.
I wish that was the case. I couldn't even play that game.
That was just a physics engine. It was, like, fucking science bad.
I couldn't even play that game, to be honest, but yeah. I don't know. I personally don't think they're going to make Killer Instinct for XBLA. I wish they would.
I don't think Rare's going to make anything. Like, what are they even doing now? Fucking the dog? Like,
they're making Kinect games, basically.
So they're not doing anything, is what you're saying?
No, they're making shit like the Kinect Sports 2 and fucking...
Man, they made GoldenEye. That's terrible. GoldenEye doesn't hold up well nowadays, but, like, when GoldenEye came out, it's huge.
Yeah.
And, like, how do you go from awesome game that's, like, huge... To fucking, like...
Kinect games?
Yeah, Kinectimals.
Apparently you get purchased by Microsoft. Your games need to constantly not sell so that there are reductions in your staff. All your talent needs to leave, and then all that's left is a name and a logo. And then they say, okay, make this Kinect game.
And the broken shell of a man.
Yeah, basically. You basically just need... Yeah.
Like I said, it's exactly like EA.
Yeah. Okay, we're just going to move on to the next story because you just reminded me.
Come on. We got to be close to the timer. You guys suck.
You know what? There's not too much to talk about. This is cut and dry stuff, man. All
right, go for it.
The next news story involves BioWare. Ah, guys. This makes me sad, except maybe not because, honestly, I'm kind of happy that they're gone because maybe now we could just forget about it. I don't know if you guys know these people, but Greg Sejuk and Ray... Mizuka?
Ray Mizuka. He's the big guy. He was like the whole fucking show.
These guys are the co-founders of BioWare. They've been the faces of the studio for years. They're leaving BioWare. So yeah, that happened. What do you guys think about this?
EA sucks.
Oh, come on. I feel bad saying that all the time now. It's just like, I feel like I'm beating on EA, even though I do fucking hate them with a passion.
I mean, what do you want me to say instead?
I mean, is this not the prototypical example of buying a studio, running it into the ground by trying to ram your own creative decisions down their throats until all the good staff tell you to go fuck yourselves and leave, and you're left with a broken shell of what used to be a great game studio? Then you shut it down because nobody will buy their games anymore because all the talent left, and you buy another studio and repeat.
Yeah. That basically looks like this is what's happening to BioWare, and it's a real fucking shame, because BioWare was one of my favorite studios.
Yep. Dude, that last piece of DLC from Mass Effect 3 was so bad.
Was it worse than Dragon Age 2?
Yeah. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that people paid money for that is just a trap. Like, I paid money, but I did it for the site.
You're talking about other people. Leviathan?
Yeah.
That's a tax deductible.
The website? Yeah, right.
Yeah,
the website's only life deductible.
Basically, yeah.
But honestly, though, friggin', they should have to go to like court for how bad that DLC was. Like, it was fucking bad.
And apparently,
so I'm not surprised the guys fucking packed their shit up and left.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's announcements or rumors to say about number 4 for Mass Effect.
Yeah, they're saying that there's a new game coming. I saw it today.
I don't see a point.
I don't think anyone's gonna play it. I'm not gonna play it. And I'm a fanboy.
You know, the thing I wanted to say when I heard announcements of the rumored Dragon Age 3 Inquisition is that the only Inquisition they should hold is fucking holding an Inquisition in BioWare and EA for the people responsible for Dragon Age 2.
Yeah. Actually, since we mentioned that too, that wasn't even my next news story, but whatever, we're going to talk about this too. Dragon Age Inquisition? The funny thing about that is the guy who was talking about it is like, we'll give this another minute.
Yeah, 1 minute. And then the horns went off.
Yeah, because we're talking about Dragon Age Inquisition too.
Yeah, we're good, yeah.
It's good. Essentially, the guy who was working on it was saying, like, oh, yeah, no, it's most of the team from Dragon Age Origins. And I looked him up, and it's like, and he even admitted this, like, he's the guy who worked on Sonic and the Dark Brotherhood for the Nintendo DS.
Oh, boy.
Did you guys play that game?
Nope.
It was like, hey, this is supposed to be Super Mario RPG, except made by BioWare. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I'll try it out. I returned that game so fucking quickly. My fucking God. I couldn't even believe that game was made by BioWare. And that was when BioWare was still good. So you're telling me, like, the lead from Sonic and the Dark Brotherhood is now the lead for Dragon Age 3 Inquisition.
Yeah. That game is going to have a horrible single-player campaign. And then they're going to shoehorn multiplayer into it. And it's going to be terrible. I haven't even looked at anything about that game, because that's how little I give a fuck. I almost traded in my other two Dragon Age games today.
And not worth any money.
I just want to look at them. It's upsetting. It's like how I can't look at my Mass Effect 3 games. It's like cancer.
No, I would keep Origins. Origins was an awesome game, and then Awakening, the expansion to that, was very good as well.
Yeah, but then when I
play but then two,
I weep.
Kind of.
Yeah, but we're done with this new story. I do want to mention one thing about it, though. Some good came of this. Zashuk is now pursuing a career in craft beer, so good for him. Better than working for EA.
It is.
All right.
Anything is preferable to working for EA.
Yes. Okay, now we're going to move on to...
A pack of measles in your colon is better than working with EA.
They're just going to be scratching and trying to get out. That's going to be the most painful thing in the world. Jesus.
EA. Oh, God.
All right, we're going to move on to tech news. The first bit of tech news involves the iPhone 5, guys. You know that got announced last week?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. iPhone 5. It's 18% thinner. It weighs 112 grams, which is 20% lighter. It has a 4-inch screen, which is slightly taller, and has the same resolution in DPI. So, I don't know, you get an extra row of icons, I guess. And it's got 4G LTE, which I admittedly say that's a good
thing. Doesn't that have, like, some crazy fucking LED keyboard or some shit?
No.
I heard that.
I'm going to talk about that later. But, yeah.
Okay, so, based on the features you just mentioned, it now has similar features to my Samsung Galaxy Nexus.
No, because it doesn't have NFC.
Oh, so it still doesn't have all the features that my Samsung Galaxy Nexus already has.
Still inferior.
Except that my Galaxy Nexus is even thinner, even lighter, and...
Has a higher resolution screen.
Has a higher resolution screen.
And you bought it in quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yes! Clearly. I don't know, guys. It's hard for me to be excited about this at all, because I have no future plans to buy a phone in the near future, but I don't know.
But 2 million pre-orders. in 24 hours of the announcement.
What can I say? People aren't that smart. Did you see the Jimmy Kimmel thing? Where he's like, I have the new iPhone 5, and he just handed the iPhone 4S to a bunch of people, and they're like, oh yeah, it's lighter, it seems faster, but it was just the iPhone 4S.
They broke records with that.
Yeah, I honestly don't understand it, because it doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. I mean, yeah, it's now got LTE, which has been a standard in most flagship Android phones and other, even like, even Windows phones for, what, a year and a half? So, I don't know where they're going to, the thing I don't understand is, where are they going to go from now? Like, what are they going to add? Are they going to add NFC next year? Like, what are they going to add? They can't make the screen bigger, because apparently they refuse to do that. I mean, they just make it slightly longer. I don't get what they're going to do.
I don't care what they do.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck.
It's an Apple product.
It's just
you have an Apple product. You're using an Apple product right now.
Only because I don't want to have to pay $300 to upgrade my phone to something that isn't an Apple product.
Fair enough.
You know what? I mean, like, you know, I'm sure everyone who listens to the podcast is well aware of my fairly rapid conversion against iOS in the last couple of months. But, I mean, notwithstanding any of that, look, a lot of people like it because they like iOS, they like phones made by Apple, fine. To me, my major issue is this phone doesn't bring a lot that's new to the table. And even though it says it's 20% lighter than the previous iPhone, that still means it weighs something approximating 3/4 of a brick. Because the iPhone weighs a fuck ton. And one of the things I really noticed when I switched to using Galaxy Nexus is a lighter phone means your hands don't start to hurt from using the phone for an extended period of time because you're not holding a goddamn brick.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I do like how they said they wouldn't, whatever. They wouldn't increase the screen size because then you couldn't do it with one phone. Oh, this thing just likes blocking me right the fuck off. But yeah. I don't know. I can't believe they can't get a bigger screen. It's so stupid.
All right, Steve Jobs is dead. Nothing good is coming.
Just buy Samsung. You had to bring that out. No, not even Samsung. There's all kinds of
dead for a long time now.
That's true.
Apple shit.
All right. Next news story also involves the iPhone 5, but this is just humorous. You guys know Fox News, right?
Oh, God.
They recently did a news report. They're like talking to people who wanted the iPhone 5. You know, these people online. Oh, yeah, I can't wait for the new phone. But then they did something crazy. They then reported that, I'm gonna quote them. They said, starting at $200, the iPhone 5 is sleeker, has a laser keyboard, holographic images, and other cool new features. So,
I heard about that. I was like, there's no way.
Fox News thinks that the iPhone 5 has a laser keyboard. What does that even mean? I don't know. And holographic images. Now, apparently they did this because what happened was some guy, I assume works at Fox News, found this concept video that was done last year for what the iPhone 5 could be.
Sure.
And didn't bother to maybe check his source or do any sort of research whatsoever.
It's Fox News. Why should this surprise you? When has Fox News ever checked their sources or ever done any research about anything?
I don't think they do, but it drives me, like, I can't play the sound clip of them talking because then we might get pulled because, you know, this is local news shit, but like, I wish I could because it's so retarded. She's so happy. She's like, it's got a laser keyboard and holographic images. It's like, what? No,
it kills Democrats.
Holy shit. There's an app for that.
Yeah, you know that's where all good news goes to die.
Brought to you by the RNC.
Oh. But yeah, guys, I don't know. I don't even know if we could talk about this. I just wanted to mention it. If you wanted to see it, it's on Gizmondo right now. It's one of the more recent stories.
Fuck, my dick is a holographic keyboard.
Yeah, just search iPhone 5 Fox News laser keyboard. You'll find the video. It's fucking
lasers.
Yeah, man, it's got fucking lasers and shit. Oh man, that would be. Imagine if it did have that. Then Fox News would be really good. Hey man, it's got fucking lasers and shit. Go buy that fucking thing. I'd buy it if it had lasers and shit.
Yeah, if it had a laser keyboard, I can understand why you'd go out and buy it and have 200,000
What the fuck is a laser keyboard though?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
No, but that's like those. Those fuck. I think they exist. Those things that project the.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
use exactly. Like a low powered laser to project the keyboard onto any flat surface that you can then use to type.
Yeah,
right?
Those are why would you need that for your phone?
Because if you got to type a text message, you'd be like, ba-doop.
Instead of picking up your phone, your phone's down and you're just on the table.
Yeah, maybe, Siri's not good enough. You need laser keyboards.
Maybe you got to write an email.
Siri is not good enough.
Kahuna.
No, it's not. All right, next story. You know what? We're just going to bunch this last one up. We're not going to talk about this. But they also announced new iPod Touches for Apple. It's basically the iPhone 4 without a wireless data connection or cellular connection. But
So
they come in multiple colors.
They basically just refurbed all their iPhones and turned them into iPad Touches.
No, iPod Touches.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, we're going to move on to the next story right away for this one because this story I find actually hilarious. All right, you guys know HTC and Samsung, right? Samsung, more specifically, recently lost a lawsuit against Apple where they now have to pay a shit ton of money.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right.
Unless they win on appeal.
Yeah, that's true. All right. This next news story involves both of those companies, HTC and Samsung, who are basically planning on suing Apple over 4G LTE patents. HTC specifically owns a shit ton of LTE patents in the U.S., and Samsung owns LTE patents in both U.S. and Europe. And they're both basically seeking like injunctions to stop the sale of the iPhone 4. Now, it's unlikely that they'll actually be able to pull this off before its release date this Friday, but they're both trying. So, what do you guys think about that?
I think, first of all, you meant the iPhone 5.
Yeah,
and second of all, that I hope they succeed and give Apple a taste of its own medicine.
Yeah.
Because that's fucking bullshit.
The entire thing that Apple did where... They were mentioning all these phones, and now they're basically trying to block. They're trying to block the Samsung Galaxy S3 and the Galaxy Nexus again. And just because they won the last lawsuit, it's like, what are these people even doing? Like, I understand you want to protect your products, but like, you need to keep innovating in order to stay on top of the market, right? Yeah, and the iPhone 4, the iPhone 4 to iPhone 5, like, I honestly don't see that much innovation. So it seems to me like the entire lawsuit was basically just them being little pricks.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly do hope to get a taste of their own medicine. Now, whatever. Maybe that's just me being because I don't like the iPhone. I mean, I'm not anti-Apple by any means. I mean, I use an iPod Touch every day. I don't have any Apple computers, but I did for one point. But, you know, I think they make good products, but this shit's fucked.
Fuck Apple.
I feel bad. Now we're just saying that this is the Fuck Apple podcast. This should be their moment of triumph. They just announced a new phone. Their stock price is up.
This should be the Fuck Everybody podcast, considering we've spent the entire podcast so far ragging on Nintendo, EA, Apple.
No, that's true. Like, as we already said, we don't hate Apple desktops and laptops. We hate their phone.
No, I don't even hate their phone. I just
and their tablet. What is that thing? That thing's a dinosaur. There's like 90 Asians in my program with that fucking thing, and it barely fits on their goddamn desk.
Well, it's a 10-inch tablet, man. It's a big tablet.
It's bigger than my laptop.
It's not bigger than your laptop. Shit. Your laptop's pretty big, man. But yeah, I don't know. I hate
the iPad so much.
I just find it funny that now, like, they've been throwing lawsuits left and right, and now they're getting a taste of their own.
Because Steve Jobs is dead, and they don't know what to do.
No, they were doing this before Steve Jobs was.
It's exactly what happened to TYG if you died.
So they're waiting for the return of the Messiah.
We just start cloning Mike, trying to replace you, and every time it would be more inferior, and then Mark would like. Fraction off, make his own company, and win. That's exactly what happened.
I'm not even sure how that would work.
High hopes, G. Thanks.
Okay, Mark, since we don't give a fuck about this lawsuit, what the hell is this? Oh my god. I shouldn't even look at the weird pictures on IGN. They're
that
terrible.
Is a girl blowing a guy.
No, that looks like a girl blowing a guy.
That's a Ninja Gaiden blowjob.
No, it's not a... You know what? The angle is... We're talking about Apple here, right? No, the angle here is weird. I was like, is she, like, eating someone out?
We're talking about Soup Deep. That's what we're talking about. What is that?
Oh, god. I don't even know. Ha, huh, fuck, you know what? Fuck the news, guys. We don't need no fucking news.
That was speedrun. That was terrible.
That was the worst speedrun news ever.
If we had a producer, we'd all be dead right now.
Yes, we would. He's going to kill us all. Mike's going to be like, guys. Yeah,
Mike is definitely the producer. He's definitely not going to be happy. You guys want to talk about Democrats or Republicans for a little bit?
No, let's not. Let's not and say we did. We're going to move on to the main topics, guys. First of which is comic books. Now, Mark is the one with most information here. What did you want to talk about specifically this week, man?
His notes?
Yeah, man, he's got notes.
Yeah,
he's prepared.
Man, he has fucking notes, bro.
Dude, this whole thing's ad-lib.
Bro.
Basically, just one thing that kind of caught my eye with comic books was how they're making Captain America president.
How do we end up back on politics, guys? No, seriously.
That's just the way of the podcast today. Yeah, they're making Captain America president in the Ultimate Comics. They're on...
How exactly does that transpire? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but well, how the fuck
I'm gonna get
does
to
a
it.
Guy wearing a like tights become president? They
I'm
won't even
getting to it.
I was gonna get racist.
All right, let's figure this out.
Go down that
basically,
way.
What Marvel has done is in the Ultimate Comics, the world has gone to shit, like usual.
So, like the real world.
So right now,
yeah. And they're at issue 14 right now. And so the nation, USA, is in shambles. And things like the Sentinels have taken over. Even Texas, where things are bigger, has...
They have bigger Sentinels?
No.
Yes.
The Sentinel Mark II. It's the size of the fucking Empire State Building.
Texas has left the Union. They have nukes, and they're pointing it at the rest of the U.S.
Why? Just because?
Texas definitely
just because things are bigger in Texas, and they would, right?
Yeah, so, that's probably about right.
So the president has resigned because he's like, this country has gone to shits. And
he's doing a good job.
So people have turned around. They're like, we need somebody to lead us and fix this bullshit. And they turned to Cap.
So Captain America.
And with an election, they decided to make him, a special election, they decided to make him president. And that's where they're sitting right now.
So he got voted in?
He got voted in.
So they're going to address him in the comics as President America.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What the fuck? President America.
How patriotic is that?
We cut now to a live address from the White House. Where the American president, President America, is speaking.
Like, I can see where Marvel was going with this, considering the fact that the Americans are coming up to an election, right? And how there's this, you know, this whole dispute, there's the Republicans really shitting on Obama and whatnot. So there's this division in the States and turmoil and all this stuff. But I can see because of the fact they're coming to election, they're putting Steve Rogers in that position.
Is he at least going to be president in his own name instead of Captain America?
I would hope so, because that would be freaking hilarious.
What I want to know is he going to do the State of the Union in his like outfit and then whip the shield at the camera at the end? Because that's what
I don't know. Happen. I don't
the
know.
The State of the Union is Pecora.
I don't know, because tomorrow issue 15 comes out where he accepts the presidency, and then on September 26th, issue 16 comes out where he does the whole Bible thing.
Straight money, Loki's going to kill him.
Oh, this is going to be amazing. He's like, I am now superhero in chief.
I know, eh?
God, oh, Lord. Okay, no. What the fuck is wrong with America in the Ultimate Marvel Universe? Where they hire a guy in blue tights to be their president. Like,
he has a shield.
He does have a shield.
But, you know what?
He's made of vibranium.
Jesus H.
One thing Marvel did say, actually, more specifically.
Did you say vibranium?
Yeah, it's made out of vibranium. So that's actually what it's made out of.
Yeah.
It constantly vibrates.
I bet it does.
Yeah, that's what it does. I'm so serious.
Good lord.
The ladies love Captain America's shield.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Good work, soldier.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
No. We respect the armed forces on this podcast, okay?
No, we do. We do. We do. But, I don't know, which is what Marvel was saying. Actually, more specifically, Sam Humphries, the writer, he's not taking a political affiliation in any way. Like, he's not saying he's Democrat, he's not saying he's Republican.
So wait, the Democrats and the Republicans agreed on voting for fucking Captain America.
I think at this point there isn't any Democrats or Republicans. It's just screaming people asking for help.
So they're like, oh shit, we're all dead. So Captain America, no, save us. You could be president, right? Actually, that seems kind of counterproductive. I mean, if your country's on fire, you'd kind of want Captain America to be out there trying to save people.
But that's what Humphries was saying.
So he's not going to be sitting in an office?
He's saying he's not going to be sitting in an office doing paperwork, asking for the next agenda.
What, he's going to be the frontline president?
He's going to be on the front lines, Mr. President.
Oh, okay.
The Secret Service is going to get killed. The body count's going to go through the fucking roof.
Yeah, because they're like, sir, it's our job. We need to stay. Oh! The guy punches the Secret Service guy.
What do you mean there's a 2-foot sentinel? Dead.
But like, let's be honest, who's going to be his VP?
Iron Man?
No.
Actually, yes! He's an alcoholic.
I vote Iron Man to be president.
Oh,
there you go.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh,
oh
my
God.
All right, guys. Vice President for Captain America. Suggestions now. Figure it out.
I'm pretty sure we all agree on Iron Man. Thor.
No.
He's not even from the planet, let alone the country.
You want Hulk.
Yeah.
There you go. Vice President Hulk is going
to
address.
Isn't there a requirement that you have to be American to be president? How's Thor going to do it?
No, you know what? Vice President, Bruce Banner makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Since one of the vice president's jobs is to solve stalemates in Congress, he could just solve it by Hulk smashing.
Just gonna beat the entire Congress. Well, someone should do that anyway.
You should do that in Parliament sometimes too, guys.
And somehow we ended up talking politics, even though I try not to.
You know what? Captain America's president. Nothing fucking matters anymore.
The world as we know it is over.
I guess not.
Who's next? Fucking Spider-Man?
Oh, shit.
He's the what do they call it?
No, that DJ guy. He's going to be president.
Hypno-Hustler, the next Hustler, president. Yeah. Fuck, guys.
Secretary of Defense?
Yeah. Since we're on the topic of comics, guys, guess who's coming back? Hypno-fucking-Hustler's coming back.
No.
Yeah, Hypno-Hustler's coming back, man. He's coming back in Avenging Spider-Man, the new Avenging Spider-Man next month. So, Hypno-Hustler's back. Do you guys know who Hypno-Hustler is?
Nope.
Okay, you don't know what he is. Gee, you know who he is, right?
I'm old school TYG.
I was oh god. Okay, I can't even say this properly. Hypno Hustler is a guy with rocket boots of death and I guess hypnotic glasses who does disco dancing.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
And you would lunge feet first at Spider-Man.
He moonwalks you to death.
That's what he does. He's been in jail for years.
Yeah,
I bet.
Deadpool just got him out because he's fucking Deadpool, I guess.
Deadpool's
he needed dancing career. Lessons.
Yeah.
Because Deadpool probably finds him hilarious.
Probably.
Deadpool doesn't need any more of a justification than that.
Definitely not. Alright, any other news in comic books that happened this week that you want to talk about? Or
not? Yeah, like four things right now. Look at that. It's like a fucking essay.
Just
relating to...
His GPA is like 4.0 now.
Just like I said, like it's the last podcast, my attention is on the AVX series right now. And just the idea that Professor X is actually announced in the last issue that was released that he is dead. There was a whole thing about him being dead and being killed off by Cyclops. But I just want to bring to the attention of our listeners and to the guys sitting here that Xavier has been dead countless fucking times. The guy, and I don't even think it's something that's shocking in the comic world anymore with heroes. Constantly dying. Like, what the hell, man? I understand, okay, sometimes, you know, there's a purpose for it. It gives way to another hero, or it helps with the story, or whatnot. But the fact that Xavier, who's such... I guess he's an important character for the X-Men world, has died off yet again. And Marvel is claiming that this is might be it for Xavier. This is it. He's not going to die anymore after the 100th time that he's died, and come back a million times on top of that. Like, it's just... How is this going to be the end, considering the fact that there's the launch of the new X-Men stuff coming up, the Marvel Now stuff that's with X-Men, and the possibility that Jean might be at the end of this series, the return of Jean, and why are you going to do that to Xavier? And then claim that he's not going to return. No, Xavier's coming back, let's be honest.
Basically, I'm just going to talk about this for 2 seconds and then Lorenzo can talk because I really don't give a shit about comic books. And the reason I don't give a shit about comic books is because of shit like this. I don't know, in grade 12, took a Ravenscraft course, and the first thing the teacher actually told us was that, like, if you kill off a character, it's amazing. If you can kill off a character and actually, like, stick to the guns and have the character die for real and not come back. The more you kill characters off and make them come back, the less believable it is that character is ever going to die, and it actually dilutes the character severely. This is why I don't like comic books. Because when people die, or almost die, or go through these crazy, like, career-ending injuries, and then come back, it's like, what's the point of reading? How do you keep getting... How are you...
Once, though, like, maybe not death as a final thing, but, like, career-ending injuries, that explains... That's okay. Like, I'll agree with that. Like, you know, there's this struggle of trying to get back on your feet, and there's, like, a moral story behind it, and all that
stuff. Unless you're Batman. Then someone just has to punch you in the back, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in Xavier's case, it would be quite the struggle to get back on his feet.
That's true. Oh! Actually, to be fair, he was walking at the time.
Yes,
right?
He was walking. In these series, he was walking.
Following on from what G said, I mean, I think the notion that they even are going to try and claim with a straight face that he might be dead for real this time, when they reboot these comic series every 4.5 seconds.
Exactly.
So it doesn't really make any difference what the writers of the current version say, because there's going to be a new team writing this in 3 minutes anyway that are going to do whatever the fuck they want.
Exactly.
Makes it, like, pretty much utterly meaningless.
Well, actually, that's the entire point of Marvel Now, is that they're switching up all the creative teams. So, yeah, there's going to be different teams doing whatever the fuck they want for the most part.
Right.
And I do want to mention one thing. Like, I didn't even notice that Xavier was dead. Like, all it showed on panel was like him being like going like, "Oh God!" And then he's on the floor. It's like he could have just passed out for all I knew. I didn't think he was dead.
I don't know. It bothered me when you kill characters, bring them back, and then kill them again, bring them back. Keep them dead. Like, they need to die for real.
That's actually the one thing about the Ultimate Universe that you might actually enjoy, is that everyone who has died in the Ultimate Universe, with aside from, like, one character, I believe, or maybe one or two characters, has stayed dead. Like, they killed off Spider-Man. He's been dead for a long time. They killed off all kinds of people. Like, Cyclops has been dead for a long time. Is Magneto dead, or is he not dead?
No.
So Magneto's not actually dead
No.
in the Ultimate Universe.
Not with the AVX comics.
No, I mean in the Ultimate Universe, man.
I'm not sure, actually.
All right. Because I know they killed off a bunch of people, and people in the Ultimate Universe have actually stayed dead.
I don't know. It's just... I mean, that's a device that you can use to build a lot of tension, but then when you misuse it, it does the opposite.
That's very
fucking quickly. Like, it flips the bitch hardcore when you start abusing it.
Yeah. I mean, an example is... I think it was Fantastic Four... This would have been 12 issues before the 700th issue. So that'd be 682. Or, sorry, 688.
How do you know the number?
Because I just did math. That's how I did it. They killed off the Human Torch, right? Then when it hit to issue 700, although it wasn't actually issue 700, they changed the name of the series from Fantastic Four to Freedom Foundation. And then when 12 issues of Freedom Foundation were done, they renamed the series Fantastic Four, and the Human Torch came back. So, like, in a year, you could kill off a character and bring him back. It's just kind of like, there's no tension there anymore, you know what I mean?
No, purpose.
I mean, even, oddly enough, one of my favorite characters in the Spider-Man series, Ben Reilly, he's been dead, and they're not bringing him back, and that's what I kind of like about him. Like, if they were to bring him back now, I would just sort of be pissed, because then what was the point of his death in the first place? Like, he actually had a pretty cool death where, like, he basically sacrificed himself to save people. So if he were to just come back now, I'd be like, well, what the fuck? I don't get it.
I don't understand.
I hope they do stick to their guns, but I don't see them sticking to their guns.
No, I don't either.
No way. I don't either.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. Captain America's president. It's fine.
One thing I actually do want to mention with this is one of the writers for IGN actually posted this, and I thought it was pretty funny. He was just reading up on his thing about the many deaths of Professor X. And it's by Jesse... Sorry if I get this wrong, but Jesse Shiza?
Somebody.
He had mentioned with the latest death, with the AVX comics... He uses this line that kind of made me laugh a little bit. And it goes, and in the end, Xavier played Obi-Wan Kenobi to Cyclops Darth Vader. And it kind of made me laugh.
Oh,
because he kind of just stood there and took it.
That's true. He did actually just... I didn't even know he died. I just thought he got, like, pushed over. I didn't even get it.
Force pushed over.
I don't even want to talk about Darth Vader.
Phoenix Force pushed over. Anyways, let's move on from comics. We've been talking about them for quite a while. We're going to talk about Iron Kingdoms now. Now, G, you wanted to bring this up. This is a, what is this, new RPG? It's coming out soon?
Yeah, and not, when he says RPG, he doesn't mean, like, Dragon Age.
Yeah, not Dragon Age.
I hate that.
Fantasy.
I hate how,
like, D&D.
I hate how many different things, like, you could do RPG in your bedroom.
That's true.
I just feel like I need to stress out
well.
Well, no, I just figured that I need to stress out.
That's more like LARP.
Well, all I'm saying is, take your sword.
Sheath your sword. Oh Christ! Anyway.
No, that's not happening. It's unsheathed.
Right now?
Sure. You want to check?
Back the fuck.
Not happening.
Up.
All right.
I just wanted to specify which kind of thing we were talking about. Anyway, so
yeah, you're talking about a D&D game,
like D&D. I don't want to say like D&D though, because that's not giving the game enough credit. Basically, Lorenzo saw part of the video. Mark's played D&D. You've played D&D?
I played it once, yes.
Right, okay. So, I have a couple of fundamental problems with D&D. As a DM, and then as like someone who played, because I played also. D&D takes a lot of time to plan.
Yeah.
It's actually very hard to play D&D because of the amount of time it takes to plan a game. Unless you're running like a pre-built friggin' campaign that you bought from Wizards of the Coast and you spent money on it, D&D takes a crap ton of time to do. Okay? The other thing I don't like about D&D is how you can change... Like, you can mess around with characters. There's, like, dual classes and stuff. There's different books. There's different friggin' realms, and when you start mixing characters from different realms, stuff starts falling apart. There's really broken shit you can do, like the Drow from... I'm forgetting what it's called. The special edition of 4th edition that wasn't 4th edition. We're forgetting the name. Do you remember?
D&D Essentials.
Yeah. You, like, if you took stuff from D&D Essentials and then started playing it in 4th edition, you were jackbusted. You were, like, crazy. It was like, basically it was the DM's job to make sure that you weren't breaking the game for everybody else if you play a character from Essentials. So D&D and me right now, we're not friends. So like we don't play it anymore. I hate it. I have my 4th edition books. I will not buy any more Wizards of the Coast products because it gets really beardy. The more you play D&D, the more beardy it gets. Iron Kingdoms is made by the guys that make War Machine and Hordes, which is a tabletop game, kind of like 40K. We don't play it on Wargamizer because if you're looking for it, you can actually go and find a crap ton of other crap about that, so we won't talk about it too much. But the same people that make it are making Iron Kingdoms, and Private Press, when they came out, they were the company that, like, no one really thought that they would get to where they are right now. Because they were going up against GW
Shop,
which is like the 11-pound elephant in the room. They're huge, okay?
1,100 pounds.
100-pound, yeah. Giant. Like, you can't go toe-to-toe with Games Workshop. They'll just eat you. And they'll C&D you into oblivion. So when they came out, no one thought they were going to go anywhere. And they've managed to carve out a pretty big market share. They're almost, I consider them on par with GW now. And the reason this has happened is because Privateer Press actually is aware of the cost involved in playing their game. Like, they understand that if you're going to go and buy a War Machine army, you're probably in it for about as much as you're going to be spending on a 40K army or a fantasy army. So, you know, they make sure that they support their game. They do all kinds of really cool stuff for the fans. They, when they release rules, they do live playtests with, not like beta. They don't go, okay, you 5 people that are on our, like, email list, you get a PDF of the rules, and you guys get to playtest it, and then we're going to playtest it in-house, and then we're going to make the rules and ignore everything you guys do that isn't retarded. They actually just open it up to everybody who plays War Machine. When Mark II came out, you had a PDF, everybody played, and they wanted feedback from the entire community. So they're very, like, they are very good at supporting their game, unlike GW. With Iron Kingdoms, they've actually made an RPG that's comparable to D&D, but if you play War Machine and Hordes, you're basically going to just be able to buy this book, make a character, and start playing Iron Kingdoms, because it plays exactly like War Machine and Hordes. The fundamental, like, rule mechanics are all the same. The way you would roll to hit with a gun in War Machine is the same way you roll to hit with a gun in Iron Kingdoms. So they did it in a way that their fans are going to be able to jump right in. People that don't know how to play are going to be able to learn fairly quickly because War Machine is not a hard game to learn. It's a hard game to master. To learn all the combos, that's the difficult part. But to actually just pick up the game and play, you can freaking do that in one go. It's straightforward. So they just released Iron Kingdoms. It came out today. No, tomorrow. It comes out tomorrow. And it was actually supposed to come out in October, but they got their shipment early, and then they took that shipment and shipped it early and was like, everybody's getting their shit a month in advance. High five.
That's pretty cool. Well, so people would just leave you waiting.
Right. And they were like, well, that's how Privateer Press is, though. That's what they do. They do stuff like this all the time. That's why they're a much better company.
Yeah.
Than
mind you, I'm basing this off of like video games where they get stuff printed well before it actually comes out. And then
and you wait. And they don't give a shit. Privateer Press is like, we have pre-orders. There's people that want it. It's already out. Like we're probably going to get our copy of the book in the next week because we live in Canada. But I mean, soon.
Customs.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, you saw the video. What did you think?
I think the game looks really, really interesting. I really like the... From what they were saying in the video we saw about it, it seems like there's a great deal of customization you can do with each character to create a really wide array of different types of characters with different types of abilities. And so, like, that seems really cool. And Mark's a complete fuck-up. And other than that...
it just fell right off.
Yeah, just, yeah. Good job.
Sorry, guys, I'm getting sick.
Thanks for showing up. Anyway.
At least I did.
That's true. Right,
that's
Orgy?
True.
He's not here.
You just...
Oh, fuck. Whatever, anyway.
So that seems really cool, and it seems really interesting that you can kind of reproduce character archetypes from the game in the rule mechanics.
You can't do Hordes yet. There's going to be a separate book.
Right. But if there's like a particular Warcaster, let's say, in War Machine that you really, really like, you can essentially end up making a war a character in Iron Kingdoms that's pretty much exactly that character.
Literally, black letter, exactly that. The spells are all the same. A lot of people don't like that. Those people are stupid. If you have a spell that you really like in War Machine, why shouldn't you be able to take that exact spell in Iron Kingdoms?
Because, like, I'm not totally going to make a, like, epic Sorsha, basically.
Totally. Exactly.
Or actually, more like original sword show.
And the thing
before the nerfs.
The thing that really, really made me happy. D&D, buying miniatures for D&D is like, it's like going to like an arcade, getting one of those claw arcade machines, putting in a dollar, using the claw, and picking up a random toy. Because D&D miniatures are sold in bulk at random. You don't actually get to choose what's in your box. So, like, what you get is completely up to lottery.
Yeah.
With Iron Kingdoms, if you have a War Machine army or a Horde army, the card that you use in War Machine is the stat card for that thing in Iron Kingdoms. So, if you want to have a rogue warjack running around, just take the card, there's your monster, you already have the model, it's already built, it's already painted, it's flocked, it's ready to go, done. So you don't actually have to go out and buy anything other than, I don't know, if you play, like, Kador and you want to play, like, a Menite, okay, you have to buy the Menite. But, like, other than that, everything you have already is completely carried over in the Iron Kingdoms.
So that's really awesome.
The buy-in is, like, peanuts. It's, like, the book and the model, and if you have an army, obviously it's peanuts. If you don't have an army, it's going to be expensive. But, like...
That's really cool.
That's huge.
Well, that's good.
There's no monster manual.
Yeah. It sounds like they're basically, like, treating their customers right and saying, like, hey, we don't want you to buy new shit over and over and over again. We just want to maybe buy the book, and you're good, right?
And buy what you need.
Yeah,
slowly. Don't just be like, buy 600 points worth of shit. I don't know.
Don't spend a grand on something that's going to be worthless in 3 months.
And another thing, the best part of D&D, and this is the thing that really, like, I like... this sounds sexual. I like the role-playing aspect of D&D. I like creating the world, the story. That's all great. Fine. Okay?
Gazebos.
I don't... Yeah. I told them.
Especially gazebos.
I don't like the...
he buckled.
The lack of focus on combat. Like, in D&D, combat is kind of left up in the air. How you do combat. Like, we did it with miniatures and the map. But you don't have to do it like that. You just be like, imagine combat.
Well, right. I mean, while in that, I mostly spent my time playing D&D imagining combat anyway, because it could never fucking hit anything.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. It's all D6s, so you can't play Iron Kingdoms.
Oh, fuck.
You can't ever play Iron Kingdoms.
There you
but,
go.
But, yeah, it's actually really combat focused. You're meant to go around and kill stuff, not hang out in town and roleplay for 4 days.
Shit.
So, I don't know. I'm actually really excited. I'm going to review it for the site. We'll try to get a Let's Play video if I can get people to do it, but I'm really excited for it. It looks really good. It looks like it's going to be a contender. But then again, everything Private Press does is contending. So.
Sounds good. I'm always glad to hear about companies treating their customers right and creating new content. That's always great. All right, the next thing we're going to talk about is EB Games' new hiring practices, I guess. Now, I've noticed this specifically in one of the stores that I go to, but most of the stores that I go to nowadays, they seem normal, but... Apparently, G, you've seen an odd trend recently. What is that?
Okay, so Borderlands 2 came out today.
Yeah.
And I went to this EB Games, and I've been going there since I was, like, 15, because, like, when where we lived was, like, basically just dirt and prayer. There was no EB Games.
Literally, so there's only, like, one church in the area.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, like, there was nothing, remember? Like,
yeah.
I can't say where we live, but there was, like, nothing around here. You had to, like, go places to get anything.
It was not yet the suburbs.
And like... To get a video game, you had to go to a mall somewhere else to get a video game. We didn't have a mall.
Yeah.
So I've been going to this store since, like, I was in high school. And the same guy has been there that whole time. Like, he's been selling me games since I was 15. And there's been, like, staff coming in and going. There's been girls before. But, like, it's never been all girls. So an EB Games opened up closer to my house now than that one. So I'm not going to keep going there because it's costing me, you know, $60 for the game. And I don't buy regular versions of games. So it's costing me like $120 for games because I buy the crazy collector's editions of everything.
Yeah.
And then I have to pay gas. So it's just cheaper to go to the closer store. So I went there today to buy Borderlands 2 and to cancel all my pre-orders and re-pre-order at that new store.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked in, the guy was gone. He's like always there on launch day for titles because he's a manager. He's always there.
Yeah.
Guy wasn't there. Guy doesn't work there anymore. There was two girls working in the store that I've never seen before, ever. So I was like, okay, well, he's not here. At least it's not going to be awkward, like the, hi, I'm canceling my games because there's another store, and I know we've been coming here since. Like, I was kind of upset about it, because I know the guy. Like, when he sees me, he recognizes me.
Mm-hmm.
I get free shit from him all the time. Apparently,
maybe that's why he's not working.
No, but like not free shit, like, he doesn't give me free games. But, like, sometimes there's pre-order bonuses and shit.
Yeah.
He'll just slip me an extra copy.
Yeah.
Like, they have them. They give them out. I got you a friggin' Assassin's Creed friggin' Tomahawk today.
Yeah.
I get free shit. So the guy wasn't there, so I was kind of like, thank God, because it's not going to be awkward. Then when I asked about him, they were like, yeah, it doesn't work here anymore, and it's all these chicks. So I was like, all right, well, I'm canceling my pre-orders, because I'm not going to come here for you people. I don't know you people. Who the hell are you people? Get out of my store. So I left. I went to another EB Games, closer to my house. which was filled with women. So I've been in two stores so far, and completely manned by females. So females. So it was weird. I was
they were completely unmanned.
Yeah. So I was like, I was like, what the hell's going on? And then I went to college, and we had like a like a break, and the guy that I was in class with, the only like person I know in my entire program, because the people that I went to school with have all graduated. So my only friend, me and my only friend were talking. He's like, I need to go to the Eaton Center to pick up Borderlands 2. And I'm like, I'll come with you, because what the fuck am I going to do in the library by myself sucking dick? So I went with him. So we went to the library. We
generally, that's what you do in a library.
Yeah. So we went to the EB Kids in the Eaton Center, and it was all women again. So, like, I've been in three EB games today, and it's been chicks. Everywhere. Like, I'm down. Fine. Awesome. But, like, what happened to the smelly neckbeards that used to hawk my games to me? I feel like all the drug dealers I know got arrested. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm in Compton and I need to hide.
It's possible. I mean, this has happened to one of the stores nearby where I used to live recently. And yeah, it was basically, well, I don't know if it happened. When I went there, it was basically an entire female staff.
It's happening. It's out there. I don't see anything. It's like an epidemic.
I don't see there's anything wrong with that.
No, I'm down with chicks.
Have they finally realized that sex sells, maybe?
Yeah, they're all wearing low-cut tops. It's brutal. It's unbelievable. Like, it's great. Don't get me wrong, but it's terrible. I can't bring my girlfriend there.
Maybe they fired all the male staff because they were all stealing games from the stores they worked at.
Maybe.
Maybe they figured if they had, you know. Because, I mean, like, no, there's a lot of chicks that play video games. But the percentage of chicks that play video games is a percentage of the total population. It's probably a bit lower. So they figure if they hire all girls, maybe less games will get stolen from the stock.
Maybe. I don't know. I just, it's unbelievable. Like, I mean, okay, one store, fine. But fuck, there have been three today.
Yeah.
Like Mark was saying, he's seen it too, right? Where do you go? Where do you buy your games?
The one, the closest by. I usually go over there. And the one by the theater.
Oh, okay. See, that's not the same one. So that's another one.
Right? And I walked into there one day and I was like, oh my god, who is this beauty that's going to be
selling? Oh, yeah, the chick. Mike's in love with her.
I'm in love. She's got black hair.
Yeah, blue eyes. I know what you're talking about. She's
around about 23 years old and older.
No, but seriously?
You didn't ask her for ID. You don't know that.
No.
You can tell.
You can tell. She's old. Okay. But in all honesty, though, like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with women working in video games or anything.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I mean, I feel that, like, EB Games and GameSpot are hiring girls to, like, push me into spending more money.
Could be.
Like, I feel like they're taking advantage. I'm buying my games on Amazon going forward.
Oh, okay.
Like, Lorenzo brought up a good point with the guy-to-girl ratio to play video games, right? But at the same time, I don't think any average girl is going to apply for a job at EB, right? They have to have some interest in video gaming.
Well, that's probably true.
You actually need to prove that you have an interest in video gaming to get hired at EB.
They probably test you.
Yeah.
They do. I applied once.
I mean,
I didn't know that.
You got chops. Or tits, apparently.
Apparently. No, but when I went to the last game I bought at EB Games, what was that? That was, oh shit, no. I was thinking of Xenoblade Chronicles, but no, the girl who worked there at that time was functionally retarded because she wouldn't sell me the game that I had already paid for 2 months prior.
You have good customer service experiences everywhere.
I do, but more recently I bought... No, it was when I purchased Lollipop Chainsaw. The person behind the counter was also a woman, and she struck up a conversation with me about, like, what games in the month that she was looking forward to, and I was kind of surprised, like, so... I don't know, it was just, she seemed knowledgeable, so I got no problems with it, whatever.
I just wonder, if you live in the GTA and you listen to this podcast, which isn't like me, for some reason I feel like all our listeners are like American or something. But if you live in the GTA, you tell me if your EB Games has men on staff, because I'll start coming there, because...
I can tell you specifically, I'll tell you one right now that I know has a guy on staff, and it's the same guy that's been there forever.
Are you sure he's still there, though? Because my guy got killed.
But why? I haven't, you know, to be fair, I haven't been there in a while, but this is giving away a location, but not any locations anyone here is going to be anytime soon. Not even me.
Okay, I love the fans.
The Promenade Ball beside Woodbine Racetrack, the EB Games in there had a guy in it that I've known for a long-ass time. And as far as I can tell, he's still there. I haven't been there in like 3 months, but as far as I can tell, he's still there.
It's a weird trend that's going on. But I have no issue with women working. I just want to point that out.
Working at an EB game specifically.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
that's awesome. You know, but maybe just a weird trend all of a sudden.
Yeah. He's just weird.
Like suddenly, all female staffs at like 17 EB games.
And you know what? It's a busy season too. It's like, it's terrible. It's a Ponzi scheme.
This makes you think, is the population of women that play video games growing? Like the fact that they're in those stores now.
I'd like to say that my girlfriend comes towards that, but she doesn't really play games. They kind of play her and I kind of save her, so
fair enough.
I do, but like, she's hopeless.
My girlfriend's, as the rest of you probably know, pretty serious gamer, so
she would count in that population for sure.
Yeah, I'm dreading playing Resident Evil 6.
I don't even know. I can't help you there. All right, let's move on. We're going to talk about... this is basically something that I've been doing recently. And I'm not even sure why. I've recently been playing Final Fantasy VIII on the PlayStation Vita. And I just wanted to bring this up. I sort of came to a realization, maybe about 2 hours into the game, where I hadn't even gone to the first dungeon yet, and I realized, what the fuck am I doing? Because I spent the first 2 hours of this game drawing magic from flies and caterpillars. That is Final Fantasy VIII.
If you play Final Fantasy VIII without a walkthrough, you play the game. Play the game, go through the story, you try to progress. And you're going to get stuck at the same part that everybody, and I swear to God, everybody gets stuck at this part if they've played Final Fantasy VIII. Lunatic Pandora, it's this gigantic thing, it's this big weapon, you have to you fly a spaceship into it and crash onto it and then fight. You fight these two people called Rajan and Fujin. You fight Rajan and Fujin, you get through that part, it's a tough fight. The next, fight right after that is this crazy boss, and the health that you left the Rajan and Fujin fight with carries over. So it's not like you get to heal, you get all your shit back, it's a straight transfer. And you're gonna die, screaming. Because this boss is the Antichrist. If you haven't been doing what Jay just said that he's been doing in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy VIII's, magic and, ability system is akin to rocket science. And a lot of the best items in the game can only be acquired by playing the card minigame, being really, really good at it.
That's what I was doing, too.
Winning a metric crap ton of cards, then turning those cards into items, and then turning those items into weapons, and then equipping those weapons. All of that takes a crap ton of time, and a lot of it starts off in the beginning of the game, right after the tutorial. You have to start playing that card game, and you're probably going to be playing that card game for, I'm going to say, easily 10 hours.
Actually, yes. I was going to say, I've been playing that card game so much, too, that I actually have the song stuck in my head. It's like, dong, dong,
yeah, dong, oh, dong, I hate it so much. But if you don't play that card game in the beginning of the game, you end up missing out on this card that you need to beat the game. And you can only get it in the beginning of the game. After you play the first dungeon, that guy with that card disappears from the game.
Wait, what guy with what card? Did I miss it already?
It's a little kid, and I can't remember the card.
That little kid? It's not... Oh, fuck.
Yeah, you gotta beat that guy and take him for all he's worth. You have to beat him until he starts, spawning bullshit cards, because you've taken all his, serious cards. Because he's got more cards that are, good than God.
I think I fucked up, guys.
If that guy played Texas Hold'em, he'd be a billionaire.
Jay's starting over.
I'm starting over. I'm 4 hours into the game. I've only beaten the first dungeon. I'm starting over.
I love Final Fantasy VIII, from what I remember of it. But now that I've actually tried to play with a walkthrough, it's horrible. It's terrible. I can't even think of another game that's as painful to get through as Final Fantasy VIII if you don't know what you're doing.
I won't say that it's painful, but I think a comparable example is definitely if you play Chrono Trigger without a walkthrough for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
When you get to Magus, he beats you like a redheaded stepchild. It's it is hilarious. Because you get there, and you're like, oh, yay, I just got level 2 spells that do 140 damage. And I have 600 health. Yay! And then if the fight goes on long enough because you can't kill him fast enough, he uses his tier 3 ability, which will take away 95 to 97% of the health of the entire party at once.
Yeah.
And then it'll attack you again the next turn and kill you.
Yeah, that's basically what happens in Lunatic Pandora if you don't have a walkthrough.
Yeah,
You just get killed.
Speaking of Chrono Trigger, this other thing that I sort of noticed first time players of Chrono Trigger also fall into the trap of, and this was greatly apparent in, if you guys go to giantbomb.com, they did an endurance run, which is basically a let's play of Chrono Trigger. And they got to, I think it was, what's that, the underwater base that eventually becomes the flying base called?
Oh, I know what it's called afterwards. It's called the Black Omen.
Yeah. What's it
called before? Oh, shit, I don't remember.
The Underwater Palace, I think?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you go to the Underwater Palace for the first time, and there's these little flying things that are different colors, right?
Uh-huh.
And the original English language says it in a sort of confusing way, and these guys just didn't get it, the people playing the endurance run. And he just kept constantly casting spells, not realizing that every time he was casting a spell that was of the wrong color, these things were basically just destroying him. And it was just funny to watch him spend 40 minutes just getting completely wiped by these tiny little guys with wings.
Yeah, yeah, those little bits that are the red ones, the yellow ones, and the blue ones.
And it's you have to attack them with their right color, otherwise they rape you anally. Mm-hmm. Because fuck it. But yeah, I don't know. Final Fantasy VIII... I don't think I needed to do this, but it was one of those things where I was playing this game maybe a year ago on the PSP, and then I finally checked a walkthrough and I looked and I'm like, holy shit, I missed a crap ton of shit and I didn't even feel like playing anymore. So
yep. How did the PSP go? That literally just happened.
Yeah, and then I recently, when the Vita got, you know, support for PlayStation Classics, I thought, hey, I'll pick it up again. I'll try to do things right this time. And apparently, I've already missed something because I didn't take that kid for all it's worth.
You really got to take that kid to the cleaners.
I got his Biggs and Wedge card. I got his fucking mini mug card. I don't know what else he's got.
Oh, no, you got mini mug? Mini mug's the one you need.
Really?
That's the one. If you don't get that, you're fucked.
Oh, okay. So I have mini mug. I'm fine.
You're good.
You know what scares the shit out of me though? You know the Queen of Cards?
Yeah.
I challenged her too, and then she stole my mini mug. And then I was like, I literally lost an hour's worth of progress because she beat me on the first match and I kept trying to win it back, but I couldn't win it back. And then she's like, no, I'm not going to play anymore. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? Give me back my Minimog, you bitch.
If you lose Minimog, you're done. You just need to reset the game, start the fuck over.
So I do have, okay. I don't need to restart the game.
Because you'll never, Minimog is like the best card in the game. You're never getting that card back.
No. Well, could you explain to me what the big deal with Minimog is? Because I'm not even sure.
Minimog, if you don't have the Minimog card, you cannot get a bunch of other cards that you need because they just don't appear in the game without the mini mod card.
Really? So they just won't even appear?
Yeah. But they're like the best cards in the game, and you need those cards to teach your shit, like your GF's ability.
That's calculus. So fucked up.
If you have it, you're fine. Just keep following the guide.
But yeah.
Don't lose it.
And this sort of encompasses the main problem I've had with Final Fantasy VIII when I originally played it, and I want to play through it to its completion now because I never did that. I got to the last boss and I just gave up. Because I didn't feel like playing it anymore. And I just want to beat it now for the sake of beating it. But, like, it was almost the same problem I had with Final Fantasy VII, where you're not really building characters, you're building items that your characters have. Like, in Final Fantasy VII, you were building Matera.
Yep.
In fucking Final Fantasy VIII, you're building fucking
GFs. The weapons. And GFs.
Yeah, and your weapons to a certain extent, too. But I gave no fucks about those things.
Oh, you need them.
Yeah, I'm sure you... Yeah, okay, yeah.
You'll hit... Like, honestly, though, if you go through the game with the regular gunblade, at the end of the game, you're hitting for, like,
12 damage. But you could get better weapons. You don't need the ultimate weapon, though. You know what I learned about Final Fantasy X? If you get the ultimate weapons, it breaks the game, and it's not even fun anymore. You're just destroying everything.
Well, see, that's the opposite for me, because I have fun playing those kind of games by breaking them. Because there's entertainment value for that. Like, on Final Fantasy VII... Chasing Materia was basically the entire point of the game, to make the most broken combo possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I did. I beat Emerald Weapon in one turn.
Yeah.
I considered that, you know, that was kind of fun. It's like, try to find a way to beat Emerald Weapon in one turn. Stuff like that amuses me. But, from what I'm hearing, and the Final Fantasy VIII version of this process seems to be extremely time-consuming and not in gameplay terms, which I think is really dumb.
Yeah.
For me, one of the things I like the best about a game like Chrono Trigger, for an example, perhaps for a prototypical example, is you get all of the best shit in the game by playing the fucking game. You have to, like, okay, a guide helps so you make sure you don't miss stuff. But the best items in the game are you get from doing side quests. So it's an incentive for you to do all the side quests so you get all the best shit in the game.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. It gives people an incentive to go do the content that's not required, technically speaking, to complete the main plot.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you should do it if you're going to put
right.
a bunch of crazy shit in a game.
And that's the difference, though. There's a difference between doing that and then making me jump through stupid-ass hoops.
Right.
Yeah. If you make me jump through stupid-ass hoops, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I mean, like, how am I... Like, one thing specifically, I'm not sure exactly what it was, but in the jail, I was supposed to do something on my playthrough on the PSP, and I just didn't do it, and I already saved over. So I was just like, okay, what the fuck am I supposed... How the fuck am I supposed to know
that... Oh, when you get...
I'm trying to escape a fucking jail. Like, my characters have been imprisoned, and they're trying to escape. This should be a thing where, like, you just need to get the fuck out. I shouldn't have to think I have to talk to this one guy and play cards with him for 3 hours so I can win a card for him. Like, it's so stupid. Like, I don't...
You're playing cards while escaping a maximum security prison in the middle of the desert that, I believe, submerges itself in the sand if there's, like, a prison break.
Yeah. So, like, you're pretty much on a time limit, and you're fucking playing Carcassonne with some fucking guy.
Yeah, you're having a great time. It's retarded. It's just... I mean, when that was all there was, and you were younger, you're like, yeah, this game's bomb. But, like, now that you've, like, games have evolved, you're like... I basically spent, like, 90 hours jumping through a hoop.
Yeah.
You're a friggin' like circus animal.
Yeah.
Yep. Like it's the same reason I hate level grinding.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Yeah, but that's just the thing. Like in Final Fantasy VIII, level grinding actively works against you.
Oh, yeah.
But instead of level grinding, I'm staring at a fucking fly, drawing all the fire magics from it. It's just...
Yeah,
it should be. There should be a quicker way to do it. Like,
punishes you.
It's
for level grinding.
It's so bad.
Oh, I'm level 50. But I'm still all the monsters are level 53. Oh, I'm level 53. Oh, the monsters are level 56. They're always three levels higher than you. It doesn't matter what you're fighting. So you'll fight like bats that are like level 53. That'll like one shot kill you if you're not prepared. Like, it's gay.
Mm-hmm.
That game is just so horrible, but awesome.
No, like, I'm gonna play through it to its completion because I need to do it because I got nothing else to do on PSP. So yeah, that's gonna happen.
That's true.
But yeah, sorry, PSV Vita. Ah, fuck.
I know, God.
Anyways, let's move on to the next topic. This is pretty much gonna be our last topic before we get to questions today. It involves, I guess, the existence of season 9 of How I Met Your Mother. Now, I actually haven't watched the show religiously at all. Like, I've seen episodes here and there. And, gee, you've had a problem with this specifically. What is your problem with them having
have
nine
you,
seasons?
One second, Mark. Have you watched the show?
I've watched the show, yes.
Okay. So, basically, the whole premise of this show is this guy, Ted, telling his future kids, so you know he has kids at some point, thus he must have gotten married and had kids with somebody at some point. So he's telling his kids how he meets the mother.
All right.
So, okay, awesome premise, right? Guy starts off as, like, a loser, and slowly, as the story progresses, everybody around him has developed. Like, his best friend got married, his best friend had a baby, Neil Patrick Harris has just been Neil Patrick Harris the entire show. But, like, even he is starting to, like, settle down and, like, think about, like, long-term commitment.
Yeah, but he's the comedic relief of the show.
Yeah, but, like,
all in all,
even the guy who's like, I'm never getting married and I'm just gonna go to strip clubs and fuck sluts until I'm dead. That, like, his whole plan, that was his character. Getting drunk, fucking sluts, death. That was, like, all that was there, that was all he was there for. Even he's like, I've been getting drunk and fucking sluts for the last 5 seasons. Maybe I should settle down a little bit because, like, you know, not getting any younger. But, like, the guy who's telling the story to his kids has not developed as an individual in 6 seasons, right?
Eight.
On season 6? No, we're on season 6. 6, I don't know, 6 or 7, I can't remember. But, like, in all that time, he still hasn't met the mother, gotten to be a more tolerable individual, because you don't like Ted in the beginning of the show.
No, you don't.
And you sure as fuck don't like him now. Like, I never liked Ted, but, like, the rest of the cast was awesome. I literally want to kill Ted. I hope Ted never meets the mother. I hope Ted is a bad dream. I hope this is eventually going to just become the Barney show. Because I can't stand Ted.
Wait, what? The Barney? What do you want?
No, not Barney as pink.
No, purple.
Dinosaur.
Neil Patrick Harris's character is called Barney.
His name is Barney.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it's at the point now where I watch the show for the supporting cast. Like, I don't give a shit about Ted. Every girl Ted's ever dated, except for the first girl he dated, has actively made me want to kill them. So, like, I know that the girls that like, as soon as Ted meets new girls, I'm like, she's not the mother. Because you can just tell. There's something wrong with them, and they don't go with Ted's, what passes for Ted's personality. So, NBC was like, we're capping this show at 8 seasons, because, fuck. Like, how long can this guy wander around New York and not meet the mother? And he's, like, in the same circle of friends, because, like, he dated a girl who was a roommate of the mother. So, like, she's around. They live in the same part of New York.
It's so far gone now. There's been so many seasons now that when he actually finally meets the mother, those 7 other seasons that were before it actually mean absolutely nothing. They really do. They mean absolutely nothing. They've extended
like
it for so long.
And they don't like Ted. Like, no one likes Ted.
So your problem doesn't seem to be with this show on a general level. Like, watching the show seems to be enjoyable for you, right? Your problem,
it gets less enjoyable every season.
Well, no, but your problem with this show, apparently, is just the premise of this show and why how they're taking their sweet-ass fucking time with it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get the idea that it's kind of an interesting premise for a show, but after, you know, 6 seasons, and with the thing of them apparently capping it at 8 seasons.
And now they're going for 9.
Oh, there's going to be 9 seasons of this bullshit?
So just for the record, what season actually are we on right now?
I'm pretty sure it's 7 that's coming out now. I think we just got through 6. I'm not sure.
Because I didn't really watch the last one.
I'm pretty sure it's 6. Oh, yeah. Barney ends up almost getting married to some girl.
Oh, so he's not with Robin anymore.
Spoilers. spoilers. Barney is supposed to marry a stripper whose name is escaping me, and you actually believe that he's going to marry the stripper, but at the beginning of season 6, they start off at a wedding for one of the friends. Can't be Marshall, because Marshall got married. So it's either Robin or Barney, and you don't know whose wedding you're at. And then halfway through the season, Ted goes to talk to Robin. So you know it's Robin's wedding. And Barney says that he's going to marry this girl whose name really escaped me, and I can't remember. He's like totally in love with her, and he's going to marry her. But then at the end of season 6, Lily comes into the room and is like, Ted, the groom needs to speak with you. And you go into Ted goes into the room, and it's Barney. So Barney's marrying Robin. So Barney and Robin are getting married. Lily and Marshall are married already and have a kid. And Ted still hasn't met the mother. Like, he says he's going to meet her at the wedding. I'm hoping the first episode of season 7 is he meets her at the wedding, and then the next 3 seasons are him trying to marry the mother. That I could tolerate. But if it's 3 more seasons of him trying to meet the mother,
that would be interesting.
I'll go
hate actually meets the mother next season, and then for the 3 seasons that they claim they're going to do,
also,
is him trying to convince the mother to marry him.
$100 right now, the mother is Barney's sister. $100. $100.
Or his black brother?
No. It's straight up.
Wait, his black brother?
Yeah, he's adopted.
Yeah, he's adopted.
What?
Barney's adopted.
All right, and okay.
But legitimately, I guarantee you, because in one of the episodes in season 6, Ted meets Barney's sister.
Season what?
6. I can't talk, my teeth.
I know, but he's so in season 6. It's like, wow, interesting
he
season.
He meets Barney's sister, and like, you, it's just, because of the way he called, like, he, you know in season 1, he's like, Uncle Robin, Uncle Barney. If Ted marries Barney's sister, it actually makes sense that it would be Uncle Barney and Uncle Robin.
Or Aunt Robin.
You would just said Uncle Barney and Uncle Robin.
So Uncle Robin, well,
I'm going to say what happened to Robin.
Well,
I don't know.
Interesting fact, actually.
She's not a Wachowski, is she?
No.
Ah, jeez.
But Patrick Harris is gay in real life, yeah. So there is an uncle. In
you know what I mean? I'm going to tell you guys how this show's probably going to happen, how it's probably going to end. They're going to have the last episode, and that's where he meets her, and it's like, that's how I met your mother.
Yeah.
And it's over.
And I would be
makes sense,
I'm
actually,
gonna stop watching it. If he doesn't meet the mother this season, I'm not watching anymore. I don't give a shit.
You know what I want?
I don't like Ted. I don't care about Ted. I don't care.
Something to say about Neil Patrick Harris, though. I feel like he always plays the same character.
Yeah, he does.
And everything.
Yeah.
Well, he plays the character from fucking Harold and Kumar nowadays,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, kind of on an aside, kind of side tangent to this, though, but I think it's kind of interesting that, sort of a side tangent from this show, I've had a kind of experience with watching shows where I actually can't stand the main character. That's pretty much my experience of the last, like, 4 seasons of Buffy. I couldn't fucking stand Buffy as a character.
I agree.
But I watched the show for everyone else that was on it, basically.
Yeah.
And barely tolerated her existence. You know?
But I mean, the thing is, like, Ted didn't... I didn't hate Ted in the beginning. I just didn't...
Right.
He didn't care for him.
He, you know what Ted reminds me of? Ted reminds me of Booter. No one here knows what I'm talking about. But he's just this really insecure guy who doesn't have a lot going for him, and you're kind of rooting for him, kind of, but, like, you don't really, like, it's hard to like him.
Right.
He's actively, like, Ted doesn't even like Ted anymore. Like, he's just down on himself, has no idea what he's doing. He's changed careers more times than I change underwear in a week. Oh, he's just, and he goes through girls like it's his job, and the girls that he dates, though, like, the writing is bad, because as soon as he's like, hi, I'm Ted, the next thing the girl says, you already know that she's not the mother. Because, first of all, usually Ted says, she isn't the mother. But aside from Ted telling you she's not the mother, because Ted telling me anything at this point, I don't give a fuck. Ted could tell me that the chick is the mother and I probably wouldn't believe him. So, aside from Ted telling you she's not the mother, you can tell that Ted's got, like, a shelf life of this girl probably lasting for the next 3 months. Enough for them to get a season out of it, and if for some reason, it's not going to pan out. The last girl he dated was married to a guy she married for money, but she was a political activist who hated people that had money, and Ted dated her, broke her up with her husband, and then decided that it just wasn't happening for him, and
so,
it became a miserable head case for the last 3 episodes of the season while everybody else got married.
So, like, this character is literally a contradiction.
He's contradicting himself. Like,
no, but the character itself was a contradiction.
Yeah, he's a living contradiction.
No, not even
the
him.
Woman,
I'm talking about the kid. The woman was a living contradiction.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, her. No, but Ted is too.
But, like, the fact that Ted would even give this chick the time of day, I was like, she's everything you hated about the last 3 girls you dated. Like, either you have a type and you're a moron, but crack.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Like, I haven't even watched this show, but it's obvious that Ted isn't a good person because he's talking to his kids, but all these girls that he's been fucking over before he met his mother.
Oh.
That just seems like a weird thing to tell your kids, don't you think? Like, hey, I want
well,
to... I'm going to tell you guys how I met your mother. Well, first I met this chick named Sally, and I porked her fucking brains out. But things didn't work out. So then I met fucking, you know, Chastity. We fucked in the fucking fucking soup kitchen. But whatever, it's fine.
That happened. That actually happened in
the episode. Are you fucking kidding me?
He literally hooked up with a girl from a soup kitchen. Oh. Yeah, true story.
Guys, I'm a writer for NBC, apparently.
Honestly, it's just bad. It's just like, either get a girl who might convince me she might be the mother, or something.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the show. It seems like it's a funny show, but I agree with you. The premise is just retarded at this point.
9 seasons, not necessary.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to start wrapping things up, but first we're going to get to questions that we have been answered. We've only received one question this week.
From our favorite listener.
Our favorite listener, or is it your favorite listener?
I love him. He annoys you.
He doesn't annoy me, per se. It's just
it's sort of the name. The name kind of makes Jay feel awkward.
It always makes me feel awkward.
And keep using that name, just for that reason.
No, we can't change the name now, because otherwise I'll, you know, feel good about myself. And then we can't have that, can we, guys?
Nope.
Alright, this question comes in from C-Man, and he basically asks, what upcoming games are you guys most looking forward to now that it's the holiday game release rush?
I'm looking forward to Torchlight 2 for the opportunity to play a game like Diablo 3 that's not made by a pack of screaming idiots. So
there you go.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Torchlight 2. Just I don't give a fuck about anything else.
Okay. Right. By the time this podcast is out, it'll already be out, so you'll be happy. There you go.
I gotta do a review of it for the site.
Me? Yeah. Okay. I am excited for Halo 4, because I'm going to play with Mark.
You took mine, that's what I was going to say.
I'm excited for Borderlands 2, because I love Borderlands 1.
Which is out now, actually.
Which I'm going to review for the site. And I am excited for Assassin's Creed 3, even though I probably won't play it until next year. I am not excited for Dishonored, which I would be excited for, but because I'm reviewing it for the site, I had to buy it on PS3, and it's a game made by Bethesda. So.
Uh-oh.
I literally bought it.
You poor bastard.
The girl's like, which version? I'm like, PS3.
You could have got it for 360.
No.
Why not?
Because I want to see if it works on PS3 for my review.
Okay.
Fair. Because if it doesn't, the profanity. Stay tuned for that review, kids.
Oh, guys.
It'll be almost 20% higher than normal.
Shit's on the line. Anything else, G?
I feel like I'm missing something. Come back to me.
All right, Mark, you got anything?
No, it's just basically what G said, Halo.
You looking forward to Halo 4?
Yes, sir. I've just been a fan of Halo. Me and G have played it together.
Oh!
Sorry. Since we're going back to G now, he'll tell you more about that.
No, I just remember. You can keep talking.
No, it's just we've played it together. And
the whole fucking franchise.
The whole fucking franchise. But, I don't know, I've enjoyed it. And I think just to continue that.
We've had some good times, though.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some fucking good times.
It's not a difficult game at all, really.
No. Well, it isn't when you're playing
the campaign Mark. Isn't.
Because shit that you don't kill just gets killed by Mark.
There you go.
And anything big just gets blown up by me.
That works.
So the other game, I'm excited for it, which I'm not really excited for it for anything other than the fact that I can play with my girlfriend. It's going to be hilarious playing games with my girlfriend. Is Resident Evil 6.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to review it for the site. But I'm actually not excited for it because I think it's going to be a good game. I'm actually just excited to watch my girlfriend try to fight off zombies because it's literally the funniest fucking thing ever. Ever.
There you go. All right, I guess I have a couple of things I'm excited for and some things I just sort of want to play for the sake of playing it. I am excited for Torchlight 2 because, like, pretty much what Lorenzo said. So, Torchlight 2, I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to Bayonetta 2 now that it's something that actually exists. And I was going to buy a Wii U anyways because we want to record some shit for that for the site. So.
We know, Jay.
Oh, you know why? Okay, why? Why am I excited for Bayonetta 2?
Because it's a Nintendo product now.
Oh, no, you could have dug much deeper and made so many more jokes.
Lorenzo probably will.
No. I mean, it's great that he got a Wii U so we can do the world's shortest Let's Play of Zombie U.
There you go.
We're going to have to cut it into 7 seconds episodes for it to go more than 3.
Exactly. Oddly enough, Zombie U is something I'm looking forward to, even though I'm going to die in 2 minutes.
From Fan Expo, it did look interesting, actually.
Yeah, I was also very tired, just so you guys know.
We had a long weekend.
No, I'm joking around, but when you do a Let's Play, I want to be there to be able to comment on what's going on.
Alright, we'll see how that happens. And aside from that, I am actually looking forward to Call of Duty Black Ops 2, if only because I want to see if what they said about it being different from the previous one, like they're saying they're going to have branching paths and shit. I'm looking forward to see if that's true or not. That's basically it.
Considering your interest in that game, have you heard anything about Nazi zombies with that?
They released a teaser trailer for that today, but I didn't feel like mentioning it because you know there's going to be Nazi zombies in it. There's always Nazi zombies
in Uncharted. Oh, yeah, always, but like how good
this there's is. There's Nazi zombies in Uncharted 2 or 1.
I think that was in Uncharted 1.
Yeah, the fuckers are scary.
Like, there was like, hey, you know, we're fighting. That was the weirdest thing. You're fighting, like, these pirates, and all of a sudden, hey, guys, Nazi zombies show up.
Yeah, it was all fun and games until that shit happened.
Because honestly, online play with Nazi zombies for Black Ops 1. It's a lot of fun.
No, it's a very... I don't really play the multiplayer all that much. Like, I play... No, that's a lie. I do play it until people start hacking the game and when it becomes unplayable, but...
Yeah.
That happened.
I'm looking forward to it to see if they make a difference in the story mode, and that's about it. So, I don't know. That's what I'm looking forward to. I guess, yeah.
I'm actually interested in seeing... crap, the Ubisoft game. I think it's Ubisoft.
Far Cry 3?
Thank you.
The new really? Far Cry 3?
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. Kind of on the fence.
I think I might play it, even though I might do a review of it, even though I haven't played the first two, because I'm definitely not going to do Assassin's Creed 3, because I have no background in the games, I'm going to look like a moron reviewing it. But Far Cry 3, I might be like, fuck it, I don't care,
I don't
because
think it looks cool. I don't actually think it, I don't think it ties into the other
games. I think specifically it doesn't matter, because Far Cry 1 and Far Cry 2 are so far apart, like... There's no story thread
awesome.
Whatsoever.
Pencil me in for Far Cry 3.
You could write it in on the computer document. I don't use pencils, but there you go. Anyways, I think that answers your question, C-Man, but I can't believe I have to say your name again.
a man named C-Man.
C-Man. All right, I think that answers your question, unless you guys got any other games you might think of, but I'm done.
No, I'm
good.
Actually, I do have something new to say, and... There was one more question that I just remembered off the top of my head that Hologram Andrew asked us on Twitter. And he asked, now with iOS 6 coming out and then removing the podcasts from iTunes, where is a good way to get podcasts on iOS 6? Do you guys know any good ways to get it? Because I just know of the podcast app that Apple's adding.
Get an Android-based device and then get... wait, what's the name of the podcasting app I use that's actually really awesome? I actually don't remember the name of this app, even a little bit.
Well, he actually asked us another question.
Beyond Pod, that's the name. Beyond Pod,
I think that's actually, I think that might be on iOS as well. But there is, there's a few podcasting solutions on iOS. One of them, which is actually, you can now get our podcast on streaming, and this is only a streaming solution, mind you. But it's called Stitcher Radio. I use it on Android, and I basically use it so I could just stream podcasts that I don't have already downloaded, and I don't feel like spending the time to like find them on their websites or get a proper RSS feed set up. It's called Stitcher Radio. You can actually find our podcast on that now. So if you want to use that, that's on iOS and Android, and it's pretty good. I don't really know any other options, but yeah. You could try the podcast app. Just make sure that you have a phone that could handle it, because for some reason, the iPod Touch, at least the fourth generation, like... fucking shits a brick when it tries to run the official Apple podcast app. I don't understand it. It can't run it properly. It's like trying to download an app. No, it crashes.
Steve Jobs.
I don't think that's the reason, but yeah.
Well, I mean, I think to a certain extent, Apple's overall corporate culture could be the reason, because podcasts are generally free, and Apple's not making any money on it, so fuck you.
That's a possibility.
And fuck you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. There's a few pretty decent podcasting solutions. I would say try out Stitcher Radio. See if what Lorenzo said...
is Beyond
available.
Pod.
Yeah, Beyond Pod, see if that's available for iOS.
And otherwise, if it isn't, fuck iOS 6 and get Android.
Yeah. But other than that...
Did you guys answer his question from last week about 500 Days of Summer?
He had a question about 500 Days in Summer?
Yes. Last week. I wasn't here. I lost it too.
All right, what's the question?
Last week, Andrew, some guy, asked 500 Days of Summer. Have you guys seen the movie?
Yes.
Nope. Okay.
No.
Oh, God.
Me and Eugene.
Okay, he said he had a fight with his friends, and he said he thinks that Summer is an evil cunt. Summer is a girl. And he says his friends don't agree with him. So I guess it's an agree or disagree. So Mark, you first. I just watched this video like a week ago, so I'm like fresh.
Okay, well,
I'm right.
For those who haven't seen the movie, it's basically a guy who basically falls in love with this girl and spends 500 days with her. But at the end of 500 days, they break up. But you see the progress of their relationship. You can see how it gets worse as it goes along. Right.
Starts off great.
It starts off like a typical relationship, butterflies and dandelions and running through fields, and then fucking by the end of it, it's a disaster.
Oh wow.
Like it's a burning ship.
Ooh.
It's like
this, it's rough.
It's rough. But the question that Andrew's posting is that
Do
if she is
a cunt or not.
Evil. Cunt.
Wait, was he talking? Was he actually talking about the character Summer being a cunt, or was he talking about the season being a cunt?
No. He's talking about the character.
No, the character.
Oh, okay.
I love Winter too, but like, yeah. No, I don't think he was calling.
No, he's talking about the woman, the girl.
Her name's Summer.
Because she.
That's actually the play on the words, right? Okay. The character name is Summer, but do I think she's a cunt? I don't know. No, I don't think she
really
is.
Really, you don't?
No.
Okay. First time I saw this movie.
Can I explain why?
Okay. Point, counterpoint. You give reasons why she isn't a cunt, you give reasons why she is a cunt. Right.
Mind you, I've watched this movie when it came out in theaters.
I think it's 2 years old now.
It's been a while, but the reason being, you know, when you start a relationship, you don't really know how the person's gonna be. You see them from what you see, right?
Yeah.
And then as the relationship goes on, trust me, I've had a lot of experience with this, it gets worse, and if you can't bear the person anymore, but you're trying to find ways to let them off easy, you kind of just go with the flow, right? And at the end, it was kind of just like, all right, ciao.
Okay, so I agree with you. I what you just said, I agree with you up till that point where she was like, we can't be together anymore. And then they break up. I agree.
How is she supposed to break up with somebody?
No. I agree with you. The breakup wasn't the problem. The problem was how she met him at that chick's wedding. Remember the wedding? When she shows up at the wedding, she's like, oh my god, we're on the same train. And they sit down, and they have a coffee, and they get together. And
I'm trying to remember, okay.
They're drinking, and they're having a good time, and they're flirting, and they dance together, and I think he even kisses her. And then she's like, I'm having a party next week. You should come. And he's like, yeah, I'm back in the fight. And he goes, and she's engaged.
Oh, and this is near the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way.
You find out that Summer, who's like, I don't believe in love. I'm never getting married. Love doesn't exist. And we can't be together because love doesn't exist. And you're fucking like this crazy clingy dude. And I don't want to be with you anymore.
Okay, I remember.
Flats around with him. And then brings him to her engagement party. And was like, BTW, totally getting married. Fuck you, dude. And like leaves him at her party. And he ends up just like leaving because she's not even speaking to him. Yeah, she's a cunt.
I'm going to say that's a cunt move.
Sorry.
I've rat poisoned the bitch.
Hold on. Let me get this straight. So, after the 500 days of this relationship, she breaks up with the dude.
Yeah.
And then later on in the future.
Yes.
Well, no. Part of they break up before the end of the 500 days.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And then
he's still hung up with her the whole time.
Right.
Yes.
And she runs into him on this train, flirts with him. Kisses him. He thinks he's back in the game.
They're at a wedding. Like, they spend the whole wedding
together. Right. Then she invites him to this party. Doesn't tell him what the party is. He shows up. She's like, I know I told you that, like, okay. I didn't believe in love and didn't want to get engaged. But I totally did, just not with you. Ha ha! You suck.
That's basically what happened. Yeah.
She's an evil cunt.
Yeah, I don't remember that part. Definitely don't remember that part.
Okay, so Andrew, your friends are dumb.
Yeah.
She's a cunt.
She's an animal. Don't fucking...
You know what it is? Most people forget the last 10 minutes of that movie where she pulls that stunt.
No, you know what?
Most people forget
that part. I can think of... That is probably one of the most horrible things you could do to someone who cared about you.
Yeah.
That's a cunt move.
Invite them to your wedding.
Yeah.
Like, oh, terrible.
No, like, seriously, that's a cunt move.
Spoiler if you haven't seen the movie, all in all.
It's a little late for a fucking spoiler warning.
No, the ending, I'm about to say the ending.
Does he go...
No, it's right. Clever, the ending.
The ending's sick.
He ends up... Things are looking better for him, and he ends up at an interview, and there's the other person that's in the interview as well that he's competing against. It's in the lobby there, and he goes, what's your name? And she goes, August.
No, Autumn.
Or Autumn, or something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's so dumb.
Why did I say August?
That's
Autumn,
so
another season.
Dumb.
That's Autumn. Dumb. And then he kind of turns around and gives like a smirk to the camera.
It's that kind of movie, though.
That's dumb.
It is that kind of movie.
There's
a scene where he's dancing in the street.
Yeah.
And there's like cartoon birds and stuff. That's the best scene. That's honestly the funniest scene, though.
But her name, her full name was clearly Autumn Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there you go. Anyways, I think that answers all the questions we've had this week. I'm glad we had some surprise questions that I remember.
So I'm a plot device.
There you go. But yeah, that's all the questions we have for this week. All right, so thank you for listening this week. We're going to be back next week with another podcast. But in the meantime, check us out on Twitter at That's Your Garbage. And, review us on iTunes, guys. We're on iTunes. Review the podcast on that. I'd actually be very happy if you did that. Also,
remember, check out thatsyourgarbage.com. And that's your garbage.
Oh, God.